This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning right back to you, and it's certainly good to see you. I'm glad to hear that you had a nice little vacation.
Thank you.
A well-deserved respite from all of this stuff that we're doing with all these political things, because it does get on your nerves after
a while.
Yes, it can, and it does.
And that's why you're here.
And that's why. Okay, so we want to kind of talk about a few things today so that everyone, you know, gets a clear picture of some of the various issues that are going on, okay? And last week, I spent a lot of time talking about the Roe leak and all like that. And to a certain degree, that's still there this week. But what I wanted to try to do today is talk first about some of these important races that we have coming up. Our primary is May 24th. That's a week from tomorrow. So we want to make sure that in looking at all of this, I've done what I can to educate the electorate on what's going on.
And before you say that, I would like to say this is a sponsored program. The opinions and views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station or management.
Thank you so much for that disclaimer. My goodness, we'd both go to jail if you didn't say that. Okay. Well, I mean, Laurie's right. We have to disclaim this, that, and the other. So, okay, here's my disclaimer. If you really want to find more information about what the ballots look like, go to Common Sense Campaign website, and we have Mobile and Baldwin County ballots that are already pre-marked, and you can see what our recommendations are, okay? Obviously, you have to do your own research. I get that, but a lot of people, Life 101 goes on, and we get calls all the time. Who are we supposed to vote for? What are we doing? What's this issue? What does this amendment mean? Blah, blah, blah. So we try to take your position and add to, what you're trying to find. And that's basically what we do. So please do check Common Sense Campaign website. So today I do want to go and talk about the governor's race, the U.S. Senate race, and our Secretary of State's race. Spend some time on those. And then I do want to try to get into, as we usually do, this whole question of the fate of Roe, and we need to kind of take a look at that because there have been some really outrageous statements made over the weekend, thousands of people protesting throughout the country, blah, blah, blah. But we need to kind of say, what we think about when someone says, well, we're going to have, days of rage. Okay, let's see what that really means. I do want to talk a little bit more about Ukraine. I know last week I spent some time on it, but you know what? And I've said this before. I'm totally supporting what's going on to have Putin lose. There's no question about that. But there are certain things that we don't want to do, and I think we need to kind of talk about some of those things once again, and I'll reinforce what I said last week about it. And then this whole question about the wrong track, right track. There's a new poll out. 79% of the people say it's on the wrong track. Well, let's talk about why that's the case. And one of those things that I think adds to why we're on the wrong track is this stupid, issue that the Homeland Security people are trying to foster a review board for disinformation. Government Review Board for Disinformation. And they've chosen, the perfect person to do this is a real misinformer, if there ever was one. So I want to just talk a little bit about that. So let's begin with where I think we should begin, which is the governor's race here in Alabama. The last poll that came out had Ivy at 40%. Good news. Real good news. And you say, why? She's such a good governor. No, she's not, okay? She's not, and we want her gone, and I'll give you the reasons why in just a second. So she's at 40%. Thank God she's falling. Second is Tim James, who I I personally am recommending, and I'm trying to get our board to recommend Tim James, and we're still in the middle of discussing that. He's got 19%. Lindy Blanchard, 14%. The rest of them, cats and dogs, nothing to really worry about, just those three ones. So I said I would talk to you about why we think Ivy needs to go, okay? Well, I mean, the grassroots issues have always been there, and in her tenure. And I think, you know, the most important one is where we are in education. 52nd in math, 48th in English. And I would argue, despite what the Numeracy Act says and what they're trying to do to fix math with the Numeracy Act, which I've already talked about, so I'm not going to go back over it, okay? It's the wrong approach. Common Core is the single reason we are where we are. Every other variable does not answer why we are 52nd in math. The one variable that does meet the test is Common Core. Okay? Now, what has Ivy done about this? And here again, let me just take a couple of minutes here to paint this picture for you. Last year, we had put together an anti-Common Core math team. Okay? Wonderful people. Dr. Robin Leidecker, who is running for Public Service Commission Place 2. We've supported her, and we're still supporting her for that. But the point here is that she and Kathy Miller, another 25-year math teacher in the system from Prattville area, they know what they're doing. And so our team talked to State Board of Education members who had voted for the 2019 math. Why is this important? Because these are RINO people, GOP members, supporting Common Core math. I mean, it's an outrage. So we met over the course of the last year on actually Kathy Miller met in person with Cynthia McCarty, but we did have really good Zoom meetings with her as well as with Tracy West from District 2. Okay, so what does this mean? We're trying to win these RINOs over to support a replacement resolution we had for the State Board of Education. All we needed was 5 votes. And so neither one of them joined us. So we only had 4 votes. What ends up happening is that our team has has Zoom meetings with Nick Moore and then Chief of Staff Joe Bonner. And then they had another meeting, this time in person, with Superintendent Mackey, his staff, and Nick Moore. And then Terry Lathan, who had joined our team to do all of the last 2 meetings that I talked about, she met with the governor last summer. And all this was about was to get a resolution to make the governor the 5th vote to get rid of Common Core. That was the solution. What did Ivy do? She said, oh no, I'm going to create a task force. So by September and October, that's where she was. She had an opportunity to take the bull by the horns and get rid of Common Core math. That simple, okay? But oh no. Oh no, 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 because the business council, who gets a lot of their money? Good old Kay Ivey. She ain't going nowhere. She ain't touching it. Excuse my bad language. But you know what? Every now and then, oh, well, I can't really use bad language because Lori will slit my throat here.
Please.
Please, yes, okay. All right, so Ivy says, no, I'm going to have a task force. Guess what that task force was, folks, okay? She went along with A+, worked with Senator Orr. Orr had a 5-page bill that suddenly changed to a 55-page bill, the Numeracy Act. Okay? That's her solution. It's such BS, I can't stand it. Okay? Well, that's where we are with this. And I do think that what you're going to end up finding is that, you know, with unless we get someone who is going to figure out a way to, as the governor, to change this, there's no way that we are going to ever get rid of Common Core. We need a new governor. It's that simple. So that's my number one issue with Kay Ivey, okay? Education. And again, notice who's being hurt by this, okay? It's not the fat cats. It's not the age-old politicians who have been up there for far too long. You know, long in the tooth and very short in the brain power, in my view. But here you have an opportunity for her to get rid of this, but oh no, her political career is much more important to her than what the hell is going on with the kids in the schools. It's that simple, okay? Well, here's another one that the grassroots not too happy about. The Ten Commandments bill. It was passed about 3 or 4 years ago. She guaranteed that she would post the Ten Commandments and other founding documents. Oh no, never happened. And this is what Dean Young called her out for. And this is what we tried to have the Republican, you know, executive committee meeting this past winter just censure her for not doing what she said she'd do. You want another one? How about the gas tax? You like your God? I almost said it. Oh, yeah. Close. Well, close, Lori. Very close. All right. You like this? I sure don't. Okay. And not only, I mean, look, a gas tax is a gas tax. You already had a gas tax, but they added to it 10 cents. But then they put an inflationary, you know, rider on it so that it automatically goes up every year or so. We just had a rise of 2%. Now, ain't that nice? Here we have, you know, massive inflation. Your gas, I mean, I think I just paid $4.29. Okay? I mean, we're all paying out the yang-yang for it. And on top of it is the gas tax. So our argument against the gas tax was, and Jim Ziegler found this out, that the Al Dot people were giving up $63 million a year to go to other places like the judiciary to run the judicial system, which is certainly not a line item under Al Dot, but nevertheless, that's what was happening. The simple solution was get the money that Al Dot is supposed to have and then start putting line items in the budget to take care of these other things. But oh no, we can't do that. Let's just gas tax them. And guess what? You know, Katie Britt, who I see all these signs for down here in Fairhope Avenue. Oh yeah, all those folks on Highway 98, the high roller people. Oh yeah, we got to have Katie Britt. Really? She was, and you know, the chief of staff for our good friends, the BCA. And what does she do? Not the chief of staff. She was the president of the BCA. She wants the gas tax. So I'm just suggesting to you here that you've got the swamp people up in Washington, you've got the same group down here, and that's just another manifestation of it. Perhaps the worst aspect of what Ivy did, which really tells the tale on her, I mean, I've got about 18 things I can go through, but I'm only going one more, okay? Amendment 1, and you say, oh, what's Amendment 1? I don't even remember that. Well, here, jog your memory just a little bit. Do you know that you have the right to vote for your state Board of Education member, who is Jackie Ziegler right now, if you live in our area? Okay? Yeah, you can vote for her. Uh-huh. Well, if Amendment 1 had passed, forget about voting for Jackie Ziegler or anybody else on the school board, because they wanted an appointed board. Ivy wants to centralize education. I mean, they're already doing it in many, many respects to undermine the State Board of Education's authority. But be that as it may, this would have wiped it out completely. No elected official, just some bureaucrat or some friend of Ivy or whoever, you know, is going to sit on the board, and that would have been the end of the story. So, folks, if you really think that Ivy deserves to come back and have another swing at things, go ahead and vote for her. But if you think somebody else needs to be there, like Tim James, okay, who has 19%, he's going to be in the runoff with her. And I would argue that the first thing that he's going to do is get rid of Common Core. I mean, if he does nothing else in his tenure as governor, then he gets a vote of a legacy that will stand a long time, you know, in Alabama. Okay, so there you have that particular race. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Senate race. I'm looking at my time. 10:21.
You're good.
I'm good. Okay.
You've got 15 minutes.
15 minutes, but I might have to take two more. She's smiling. I like it when
give
she smiles.
Give you an inch, you take a mile.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so the next one is the Senate race. Okay, the latest polls show Katie Britt at 31, Mo Brooks at 24, and Durant at 21. Okay, now, if you've noticed over the last 6 weeks or so, things have kind of flipped around. A few weeks ago, Durant was at 34, Britt was at 24, and Mo was down to 16. Now it's upside down. So why? Well, here's why. In part because the Katie Britt team has been nuking Durant, because they suddenly realized that Durant, you know, was going to keep her out of, you know, the runoff at one point. But as Mo slipped under the attacks from Katie, the lying attacks of Katie Britt, okay, it became clear that Britt needed to nuke Durant, and which she has done. Those things you're getting in the mail with Durant looking like Elvis Presley in his costume, and I think it says a conservative impersonator. Well, I mean, she's absolutely right about that, and I'm glad she's done this, because Durant is an impersonator, okay? And I would argue that at this particular point, if you look at Durant, you know, his has no record on taxes, no record on illegal immigration, and he's only voted in three statewide elections over the past 20 years, okay? I would argue that in the end, Durant's campaign is nothing more than being funded by the Lincoln Project, the anti-Trump people, and by another group that's associated with Alabama Patriots. Of course, Alabama Patriots sounds great. Well, you know, but where are they getting their money from? It's coming from left-wing groups, you know. And I would argue that at this particular juncture, the lower Durant goes, the better off all of us are. We need to have Mo Brooks, obviously, and Common Sense has already endorsed him. We endorsed him back in January. But I do think that, you know, when you look carefully at their records, it makes absolutely no sense for Katie Britt to go to Washington. I mean, she is a swamp creature, worked for Shelby, did all these kinds of things, you know, down here, you know, as part of his team, you know, helped Shelby just completely destroy Judge Moore in 2017. And guess what? Because of what Shelby and Katie Britt did, we got Doug Jones. And I've said this before to you all, you know, had Judge Moore gone to Washington in 2018, we would have had an opportunity to get rid of Obamacare. Remember, John McCain, you know, famously put his thumb down. Well, when John McCain passed away, Arizona sent a conservative senator there. And when they did that, had we had Judge Moore there, we would have had a majority, and we could have done something about that. I mean, those kinds of things, just completely submarining Judge Moore, that's on her and Shelby, okay? Other aspects of this, like I've already mentioned, the gas tax, okay? And I would argue that if you're interested in closing the border, like most of us are, why was it that Shelby would not give Trump the money he needed in terms of the border? In the end, and I've said this to you all before, where did Trump get the money for the border wall? They took it out of the Pentagon. Okay, fine. He got some money. But here's Katie Britt and Shelby. Once again, remember, Britt is Shelby's, you know, chief of staff. They are obstructing the fixing of the wall. I mean, getting the wall on the border. And you see the results today. I mean, this is an outrage. I mean, these people are pouring in. And if they take away Title 42 next week, which they say they're going to do, then it's only going to get worse. I mean, you talk about an invasion. This is on Shelby and Britt's shoulders. I'm sorry, you can't walk away from it. So, I don't know. I mean, for Common Sense Campaign, there's no question that Mo Brooks needs to be our representative there. And these people that talk about, well, he doesn't get along, and this, well, of course he doesn't get along with Mitch McConnell, because everything that McConnell wants is exactly the opposite of what we want. I mean, think about that. I think Lori just turned the sound down because I'm yelling. Oh, you didn't. It was a different button you hit. Okay. All right. So, I mean, but this is the issue here. Oh, he can't get along. BS. He certainly got along well enough to be a leader, you know, putting together the conservatives, you know, in the House. That's what the Freedom Caucus is all about. Well, if being a Freedom Caucus leader means that you can't get along with some of these idiots in the Senate, oh, God, I want to say a bad word, and I'm restricting myself.
Thank you.
All right, so, but this is the biggest BS argument that there is. All right, so let's now move on to the Secretary of State's position. Secretary of State is an important position. I would argue that John Merrill has done a good job putting us on a firm ground to have election integrity, okay? And I would argue that, yes, there are some problems, but nevertheless, one can make the case, I think, that Merrill has done a good job. But there are some issues there. And I think that when you look at the state of the race here, what you see is that Jim Ziegler has about 56% out of the last poll, Wes Allen at 24, Mr. Packard has 12, and Chris Horn at 8. So, I mean, it's really a two-way race, essentially, and Ziegler is in the head, now in the lead. Common Sense, again, has endorsed Ziegler. I do think that Wes Allen is a very qualified young man, and I think that, you know, down the road he has a good opportunity to, you know, to stay in the race for these various constitutional offices. But I think at this point, Jim Ziegler is a favored son down here, and he's done such a great job fighting the swamp at every turn to make sure that you and I have a voice up in Montgomery. You know, they may not want to listen to him, but they sure hear him. So that to us is an extremely important part of why we've supported Jim Ziegler. Okay, well, I mean, on the 7th of May, I mentioned a little bit about this the last show. We had an Alabama Conservative Coalition meeting, and Jim Ziegler addressed us, and I think we basically, you know, had a good discussion about some of these issues. Okay, one of them is this question about using machine voting. Okay, there's no question that the Dominion machines that were, used by some of these states that had major problems is something that I've suggested to you before. We've talked about this. When Texas said no to Dominion machines, why did Georgia, this is Kemp and Rossenberger, who is their Secretary of State, why did they adopt them? I still have no clear answer to this, but I will say this. Any state that has Dominion machines has to get rid of them. That is just an absolute, you know, no holds barred, get rid of them, okay? Now, the question as to whether our machines were liable to be hacked is something that Merrill says can't happen, okay? So one of the questions that has popped up is, well, if that's the case, why don't we just do an audit on a random sample to begin with, see what happens, and if it shows that there is major, fooling around with these machines, then we have a problem.
Baldwin County Probate Judge Harry Doleve told me recently in an interview that our machines, at least in Baldwin County, are not connected to the internet. They are not hackable.
Right. Okay. And that's nice to hear. Okay. But, you know, the question that was posed to Jim Ziegler was, would you be willing to do an audit? And I think his answer is yes. We want to make sure. And I think that If it's not connected to the internet, then that's fine. But are there other ways that they can intrude? And I think we need to kind of look at that. Another issue that came up, are we adequately purging voter rolls? I mean, after the election, the argument was made that somewhere along the line, there were still 10,000 dead people on the voter rolls. Now, and here again, understand this. I mean, Merrill has done a good job taking care of business along those lines. But nevertheless, hey, no system is perfect. Men are not perfect. We're not, you know, only God is perfect. So, you know, you can certainly expect that there's going to be, you know, a degree of play in anything we do. Okay, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept it, and that the goal should be perfection to make sure this stuff goes. And Ziegler is definitely on board with making sure that, you know, that's going to happen. You know, we asked Ziegler, are you satisfied with having strict controls over the absentee ballots? And of course he is. I mean, this was one of Merrill's centerpieces, because they fought the Southern Poverty Law Center as the SPLC wanted to do away with the absentee ballot. I mean, with the absentee ID and the verification of that ID through two witnesses. Now, I admit, it's a pain, okay? But guess what? I mean, how are you supposed to maintain election integrity if you can, and guess what? We saw this exactly, the exact problem that the Baker and Carter Commission in 2005 talked about. Mail-in ballots are subject to what? Okay, fraud. That's the biggest explanation as what happened in Georgia, okay? And we've been down this street, you know, and I don't want to repeat all this again because I'm running out of time. But here again, absentee ballots can be absolutely controlled. And the way we're doing it works, okay? And I think that's an important part of all this, okay? Ballot harvesting. Another thing that we as a state, along with this whole business of curbside balloting, you know, Jim Ziegler is absolutely adamant that there will be no curbside balloting and no ballot harvesting. So I think that when you look at the degree to which we have these issues, then I think it's clear that we need to have people like Jim Ziegler and John Merrill, you know, working for us to make sure that our election system is absolutely on the up and up. Okay. Now, okay, with just a couple of minutes to go, let me just quickly say that in terms of Ukraine, I want to make sure everyone understands that, yes, I am 110% behind beating Putin. We have to do this. World order demands that you can't have aberrant actors like Putin or Hitler or anyone else just taking countries willy-nilly because they want to. I mean, Putin may have this great aspiration to recreate the Soviet Empire. 2GD bad. Yes, see how good I was that time, Lori? I didn't say it. All right. So here you have this situation where someone has to stop him, okay? Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, how far do we go in terms of stopping him? So far, we are going to be able to, you know, we're making progress with, we're giving the Ukrainians who are fighting hard and winning what they need on the ground, okay? So does that mean then we should go ahead and have a no-fly zone? I say no. No-fly zones mean that American aircraft are going to be shooting down Russian aircraft and trying to, you know, destroy Russian, you know, anti-aircraft places. So no, we don't want to do that. Well, what about giving them intelligence that destroys a Russian ship? I say that is provocative. I don't think we need to be doing this. The newest thing that we're talking about over the weekend is, why doesn't the U.S. Navy just go back into the Black Sea and start escorting all of these ships that are taking grain and stuff out of the Ukraine so that world's food supply doesn't go down? And here again, that's doing what we did during the Iran-Iraq war. Some of you remember it. And if you also remember, an American ship got hit by an Exocet missile, and, you know, many Americans were killed on that ship. And I would suggest to you that escorting ships in the Black Sea is too provocative. It's too easy for the Americans and the Russians to get themselves into a naval engagement, which is going to end up making this not a Ukraine-Russian war, but a U.S.-Russian war. We don't need it. We can defeat the Putin without going that far. Okay? So
how?
How? Well, I mean, we're already defeating them. We're defeating them by giving them the kind of missiles that destroy their tanks. You've seen these pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're giving them artillery. We're giving them the kinds of other weapons that are helping them have the combat power to stop them from Kiev. They had to withdraw from Kiev. They're now withdrawing from Kharkiv. They're also having major problems in dealing with taking over Mariupol. I've said this on the show before. Mariupol is the just like World War II Stalin for Hitler, Stalingrad. They are not able to do it, even though everyone's talking about it for the last month. Mariupol is about to fall. It isn't. Those Donbass places, they are not overrunning the Donbass towns there. And so whatever we're doing on the ground is working. And so my argument is, let's keep doing that as much as possible and as forever until Zelensky has able to reach the point where negotiations are possible. But Zelensky is not going to be put in a position where he's going to give up, you know, territory to the Russians when the Russians can't take the damn territory. Oh, I said a bad word. Okay. So my point here is, let's keep doing what's working. Let's not venture forth into an arena that may very well turn this into something we don't want. And I'm not really in favor of nuking, you know, or getting nuked by the Ruskies and going back to this whole, you know, the mad approach, mutually assured destruction. Okay. So Laurie's giving me the high sign, so I will dutifully wrap this up, even though I didn't get a chance to talk about that stupid disinformation thing, but I will make that the first thing next week, okay? Next week, though, remember, we've got the election on the 24th, a week from tomorrow. Go to the Common Sense Campaign website, commonsensecampaign.org, and find that we have a link there to our ballot. So if you're in Mobile or Baldwin County, you'll see the recommendations we're making on all of these elections. Okay. So, Laurie, good seeing you again. You folks have a great week. Hopefully, we've got a great week ahead of us with all sorts of good things going on. Common Sense Campaign is in the middle of all this. We're working for Mo Brooks, and I'm working for Tim James. I'm hoping I can get our board to go along with getting a Tim James recommendation. Be that as it may, you all have a great, great week. God bless. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi. This program is sponsored by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or management. WABF is now resuming regular programming.